You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Markets Podcast on the FSM Network. Here's your guy, Benny Heiss.
What's good, people? Welcome in. This is the Fantasy Sports Markets Podcast right here on the FSM Network. Ben Heisler with you. I'll be joined in a minute by the senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, good friend, Therese Paylor, one of the best in the business, the corporate champ, is going to be here with us. And someone who's been in the Kansas City area for the last several years. Before he was at Yahoo, he was the insider for the Kansas City Chiefs of the Kansas City Star. And he's been seeing this Pat Mahomes thing coming from a mile away. And I don't know if anybody expected him to be this good, but I do know that Therese has been on the inside of it and had the connections with the different coaching staff and people within the Kansas City Chiefs organization. And he wrote a great column over at Yahoo about Mahomes' growth that was sort of beyond the record-breaking touchdown numbers. And we're going to get into him. We're going to get into the rest of the quarterbacks from that draft, particularly me being a Bears fan and watching Mitch Trubisky go before Deshaun Watson and before Pat Mahomes. And he said something earlier today that I got to ask him about regarding Mitch Trubisky. So plenty of quarterback talk. We'll also go around the league with some of his perspective on the LA Rams and Sean McVay and sort of the rest of the big stories in the NFL as well. Before we get to Therese, we got a bunch of contests for you this week over at fantasysportsmarkets.com. Remember, when you head there, use the promo code HOMER, H-O-M-E-R. That gets you $10 to use without a deposit required. That's on us. And you can use it in our Week 3 NFL contests that are now officially up and ready to go. You can use it in our college football contests, where you have a chance to win up to $100,000 with perfect roster bonus in top 25 action. We have daily Major League Baseball contests for you at FSM. And also, don't forget, one of the final big events of the golf season takes place on Thursday, so make sure you guys sign up for that. Our golf contest available for you at fantasysportsmarkets.com, where every contest there is thousands up for grabs in those roster bonuses. You follow us on Twitter, at FSM Contest. If you want to follow me, you can do so at Benny Heiss. Facebook, facebook.com/fantasysportsmarkets, that's where you go to watch and interact with our live streaming show on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for FSM Football Sunday. We've had a lot of fun these first couple weeks taking your questions, going through the slates, and breaking down our favorite matchups of the day over at FSM. So make sure you join us over there. Like us on Facebook, and you can interact with the show. And we're also on Periscope as well and on Instagram at Fantasy Sports Markets. All right. He's the senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He's also the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast with Charles Robinson. If you guys haven't paid attention and started listening to this pod and heard his energy like I have over the last 4 years, you're missing out. And it's a podcast that you need to have on your docket the moment that you're done listening to this podcast. Make sure you follow him on Twitter as well, at Therese Paylor. And he was at one time back in the day the people's champ, but oh no, my friends, not anymore. The corporate champ is here, Therese Paylor. Man, it's been too long, my friend. It's good to have you back. How you living?
I'm fantastic, man. How you doing? It's so great to be back in the mix, man.
It's good to talk football with you. It's been an itch that I've been needing to scratch over the last several months. By the way, we got to get started with this. Your column over on Yahoo, it's a must-read for all NFL fans. And your thoughts on Mahomes, because that's the story in the NFL right now, man. It was a good in-depth look into why yesterday's game was so special. And it wasn't just the number of touchdown throws, which is going to be the key narrative and the big talking point. Man, he was recognizing all different sorts of looks at the line of scrimmage. You talked about fire zone blitzes and how that confuses a lot of really good veteran NFL quarterbacks, including Alex Smith, who had seen it for a long time. Help the people understand not just the number of touchdown passes that Mahomes threw yesterday, but why this type of progression so early into this kid's career was that much more special.
Yeah, I mean, it's important for a young quarterback to kind of go through the ups and downs of a season. And especially when they're young, they're going to see all types of looks, right? And the fire zone blitz is something that, you know, I talked to a lot of people, man, and there were people around the Chiefs that were really worried about, or not worried, but they were very anxious to see how Patrick would handle Pittsburgh's fire zone blitzes. And basically they're the blitzes that the Steelers use to confuse Alex Smith, who's been in the league for 14 years.
Right.
The fire zone blitz is basically you got five men rushing in like a defensive end or a defensive lineman somewhere. So one of those down linemen guys on the line of scrimmage drop into coverage. And they're very difficult because you have no idea often where they're coming from, right? And sometimes they take away your quick reads, and it can just be very confusing for a veteran quarterback, let alone an older let alone a younger quarterback. But man, Mahomes, they were throwing that at Mahomes, and for he just handled it. Like, this guy's moxie in the pocket is so special. They threw those fire zone blitzes at him. He maintained his poise in the pocket, kept his eyes up and downfield, and made him pay. He threw where the defenders weren't. And it was so bad that by the end of the game, they basically stopped blitzing. That's the ultimate sign of respect. That's the kind of respect that Tom Brady gets, Aaron Rodgers. And I just hope people fully understand, like, it wasn't so much that he threw six touchdowns, that's how he did it and who he did it against. So that's what I tried to explain. Like, his ability to stand in there versus the rush against a very difficult defensive scheme and, like, literally blow them out of the water was different and special and rare. And that's why the Chiefs fans, who haven't had a homegrown quarterback that's kind of a badass, I'll just say it, in 40, 50 years, it's special. It's special to them. And that's what I wanted that column to be about.
And you just turned 23 years old today, and it reminded me of the start that Deshaun Watson had last year, where he just came out guns blazing, taking shots down the field, knowing that the defense likely was going to have he was going to have to basically make up for the lack of the defensive playmaking and opportunities on the other side. Now, I think what we're seeing now with Watson is still a guy that is going to have the trajectory of a really good NFL career, but there's tape on him now, 7, 8, 9 games into his NFL career. Defenses and defensive coordinators have learned how to figure out some things and pick up on some tendencies. And I think right now there's a lot of Chiefs fans that are in this whole heavenly place thinking that Mahomes is going to light teams up all the time like this. And he's going to take shots down the field. I don't think that's ever going to change, but this league adjusts to you so quick. And so I think even with somebody like Watson, Mahomes is going to have those struggles too.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. The struggles are coming. And they're coming sooner than Chiefs fans want to admit.
Right.
And that's probably another column coming pretty soon, too. But no, like, those struggles are going to come, because at the end of the day, let's face it, the Chargers only had one game on Mahomes in the pros to look at. And the Steelers only had two. Next game, you know, the 49ers have a little bit to look at. You know, that'd be three. But when you get to the four-game mark, they start to note patterns. And they start to look at the things that are tendencies that go well and go bad. I'm personally looking at a two-game stretch in October that I think that's probably going to be when the Chiefs' reckoning comes a little bit. Starting off October 7th against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville's defense is outstanding, and they actually have the pieces to shut everything the Chiefs trying to do down. You know, that's going to be a tough game because that's just going to be a tough one. And then, you know, you got the master, Bill Belichick, who is going to identify whatever it is that Patrick Mahomes struggles to identify, and he's going to call it when it matters most. And whatever he does to adjust to him, the next four teams on the schedule are going to do as well. And I think that that's the stretch where you'll start seeing the reckoning a little bit from Mahomes. Now, how quickly he comes out of that depends on how fast of a study he is, and he's got some things going for him. Normally, you know, namely a massive, you know, just one of the best supporting casts in football, number one. And then number two, Andy Reid. Andy Reid's really good at teaching those concepts. And, you know, Pat's in a better place to kind of come out of that sooner than a lot of guys.
Do you think that if Mahomes were to have started, say, by midseason last year, that this type of progression, this type of fearlessness in the pocket to be able to step up and make those throws – do you think we would have seen something similar to what we've seen before, or is that maybe just reckless speculation a little bit?
When you say like seen what you've seen before, you mean like would he be like this like last year?
I just think a lot of people that have sort of looked at what they saw out of Mahomes, they're now taking these two-game sample size and saying, well, I don't understand what Andy Reid was doing when he was waiting to use him all the way until week 17. To me, I think, man, I think a year under Alex,
yeah.
Even though, you know, I think a lot of people knew the talent, I think there was there for sure.
Yeah, that's really short-sighted. And
that's NFL fans, man.
Like, that's not like... I mean, what you're seeing now is the process of 16 months work with that guy.
Exactly.
Where he didn't have to do anything and there was no pressure. Do you know how valuable that is? Patrick Mahomes entered the NFL at 21. Asking a 21-year-old guy who didn't even redshirt in college to come in and lead a bunch of grown men with children is probably a big task.
Right.
Now, you can ask a 22-year-old guy to do that or a 23-year-old guy to do that, but it's better if he's really prepared for it, right? Mm-hmm. Especially, it's even better if the guy, if he got to watch a guy who's awesome at it and has a family already and commands respect, like he did with Alex. Like, to just assume that if Mahomes had played last year, he'd be playing like this right now is really short-sighted. The fact that he's playing like this right now is, the fact is, he's playing like this right now because he sat for a year and got the developmental time and like got time to sit and learn the protections and learn the verbiage and figure out what concepts he likes well. And most importantly, see somebody else do it. And most importantly, he also saw how you're supposed to lead and act like a man when things go tough last year. Remember, the Chiefs had a stretch where they lost 6 or 7 games mm-hmm. last year. And Alex Smith was an absolute man during that time. Same guy every day, didn't buckle, answered the tough questions, and led from the front. That's a pretty nice lesson to learn when you're 21. So if anybody's actually saying that, they're being really short-sighted.
I heard you with my boys today, Sho and Vern, over in Kansas City, and you guys were going through the quarterbacks of the 2017 draft. Obviously, we've talked about Mahomes here. But you also got into Deshaun Watson. You mentioned Bill Belichick, too. Especially mm-hmm. having that type of time. I know New England's defense got gashed last year, but Belichick is still so good at taking the time when it's presented to him to take away your biggest weakness. And you also said that nobody in Houston is going, man, we screwed this up. We should have taken Mahomes over Watson. But then you got to the Bears, and you call Mitch Trubisky a paint-by-numbers quarterback. And I was mm-hmm. in my car, and I was just, you know that Dave Chappelle line where he's like, I wasn't even mad, I was just upset. And the first thing that came to my mind was that Alonzo Mourning gif where he's just sitting on the bench and he's angry, shaking his head, and then he sort of comes to this realization. Like, Mitch is a talented guy, but mm-hmm. do you look at the situation now to the Bears and say, man, they catastrophically screwed this up, or is there still plenty of time for a guy that's also raw in his own regard?
Nah, man. Well, first of all, let me do a couple things here. First of all, let me say this. You know this because you were here, mm-hmm. right? When the 2017 draft rolled around, who was my all-juice quarterback? At first, it was Watson, and at the end of that, I changed it to Patrick Mahomes. Just everything I heard was like, whoa, Mahomes, Mahomes, Mahomes. It wasn't Trubisky. So from a personal preference, yeah, I'm going to take either the winner that beat a stacked Alabama team
right.
and never got rattled. Yeah, I'm going to take that guy, right? Or B, the ridiculous arm son of a Major League Baseball player with a ton of moxie and the ability to make difficult throws look easy. Yeah, I'm going to take that. Secondly, what I'll say is, calling Trubisky a paint-by-numbers quarterback, look, I definitely don't like him as much as the other two, but it's not necessarily a complete, you know, like, this guy sucks. Like, I'll reserve it for, like, Deshaun Kaiser or Blake Bortles. Like, I'm not going to do that.
The paint-by-crayons quarterback.
Right, I think the Bears have actually done an excellent job surrounding Trubisky with everything he'll need to develop. Their problem is when I call him a paint-by-numbers quarterback, what I mean is that he's somebody who needs it schemed up for him. He likes it schemed up for him. That natural creativity that Mahomes has, and to a lesser extent Watson, that's not really Trubisky's game. Like True wants to have a scheme for him. He wants to be able to operate the offense. And if you like, and if you're an offensive guru, yeah, you like that because he's going to run your plays. Sometimes, you know, it's even better when a guy has a little gunslinger in him and he'll buck your system to make plays he shouldn't be able to make. So you can win with a paint-by-numbers quarterback. To me, he reminds me of Alex Smith. I think Trubisky is going to be Alex Smith one day. I don't think that's a horrible thing.
Right.
I mean, I think you can win with Alex Smith, but I don't think it's my home. Look, if you're a Bears fan, like, yeah, you wish you had Mahomes and Watson. There's no doubt about that, but I don't think it's the end of the world. The Bears have done a lot to try to make this work with him. You know, they signed a bunch of free agent skill guys. They hired a smart offensive coach, who hired an offensive coordinator who's innovative. Like, they hired a great offensive line coach. Like, they'll be okay. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, Bear fans are going to have to sit up here and watch Mahomes do some pretty fake things, and it's going to be difficult. And that pressure is only going to add up on Mitch Trubisky. And I will also say this. They did not do him any favors by speeding up their timeline. When you trade Khalil Mack for first-round picks, you're saying that you expect to win right now.
Right.
I don't think Trubisky is necessarily ready to win right now. So he's going to need to prove people wrong. And maybe he can do it. You know, maybe he can do it. But that's the thing. Like, that's the thing that I think is, you know, kind of the issue with Trubisky. Like, it's one thing if you give him time to develop and let him grow with the rest of the offense. But by trading for Mack and signing all these veteran free agents to big money deals, you're basically saying, yep, we can go to the playoffs now. When I personally don't know if that's the case.
I sort of look at them as sort of maybe a year or two away. If you believe that Trubisky with the right offensive system, I certainly love the hiring of Nagy because I thought here's a guy that has a...
That's a good hire.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you were around him over the last several years in Kansas City. As far as sort of his work directly with the quarterbacks and the type of offensive scheme and sort of futuristic outlook on what the NFL is supposed to be like, do you think that marriage can work together, him and Trubisky?
Oh, yeah. I think it was a great hire. As opposed to like a defensive coach like John Fox. I think, look, first of all, Nagy's innovative. Second of all, his players, especially the quarterbacks, love him in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think he's got the ability to relate to guys. I think they'll play hard for him. I think this guy's got a chance to be a really good coach. Like, and I've said it before, and I'll say it, You know, I liked him more as an offensive, as a head coach prospect than Doug Peterson. You know, but just based on the things I heard when he was in Kansas City. So I think Pace actually – I think he nailed the hire. I really, really do. Really good hire for the Bears. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to be judged by how quickly and how far Mitch Trubisky comes. And, you know, I don't think Trubisky necessarily was anyone's favorite except for NFL types. And they really love that guy because he has a strong arm and he's athletic and he actually really looks the part. But, you know, and at the end of the day, he's got to develop and he's got to develop quick because – for better or worse, people are going to look at him and they're going to look at Mahomes and say, that wide open screenshot from the Packer game, yeah, Mahomes would have thrown that.
Yeah. He would have thrown that. It would have gotten to him before the guy even had a chance to react to it. That's how big it would have been. Speaking of head coaches, Sean McVay, now in his second year with the LA Rams, and they're off to the best start. Pretty much in the NFL, I think you can look at them unequivocally, maybe along with the Patriots, despite the loss in week two, is saying the Rams right now are the best team in football. And I think a lot of people knew that he was a talented guy with a brilliant offensive mind. And then they brought in a lot of big name pieces on the defensive side. And there were some folks that thought maybe a 31-year-old head coach bringing in Ndamukong Suh and Marcus Peters, a lot of personalities to keep Tlaib, that maybe it would be a little bit more difficult for him to continue to control and grasp the room. But, man, he's making it look easy in L.A., and I wonder if we're starting to see the beginning of a really underrated and underappreciated coach in the NFL for what he's doing at his age.
Yeah, McVay is different than most 31-year-olds because he has a lot of moxie. And a lot of confidence, and like his players really respond to that. He's kind of got a gravitas to him. He's just like a different guy. You know how sometimes they're just guys who are like kind of leaders of men.
Yeah.
You know, like they act cool, they walk cool, they just got it. Whatever it is, naturally they just got it. Like every guy wants to be him, every woman wants to date him.
Mm-hmm.
Like McVay kind of has that. You know what I mean? At least that's how he's perceived.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a reputation as a guy that people will follow. He's got a reputation as a very confident guy, and you know, there's a ton that can be said for that man. There really is. And I think his ability to take on these dominant personalities is an advantage. You know, it's like a real advantage. It's a tangible advantage because when you see your coach walk with that kind of swagger, you see that kind of that coach be able to not be scared of other alpha individuals because he thinks he's the best alpha, biggest alpha in the room. That's huge. That's a real advantage in the NFL. And I think, you know, again, as long as he doesn't get too full of himself, you know, Sean McVay has a chance to be one of the league's premier coaches for a very long time.
The Rams look like they're not slowing down for anybody. I know it was against Arizona, who could be arguably the worst team in football, but that was pure dominance. on both sides of the ball, and then especially in the second half against the Raiders in week one, they looked terrific. Another surprise, and I don't want to necessarily say the Rams were surprised, but I think the 2-0 start with as dominant as they've been has maybe been a little bit surprising for some people. What have you made of the Bucs and their 2-0 start, and do you see Ryan Fitzpatrick hanging on to that starting quarterback job?
I mean, I feel like this is what he does, right? Like, comes out of nowhere, nobody expects him to do it, and then he gets in there, he slays it, you know. And people are like, hey, Fitzpatrick, he can be your starter. And then, like, he comes down to earth either the next year or in the subsequent weeks. You know, there's nothing wrong with being Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's a nice life. You know, you keep getting paid. Every other year, you'll get starter money, right?
Right.
You know, look, the NFL is a performance league. It's week to week, and you know, 1 week can be on top of the world. But, you know, I think it's tough to imagine that, hey, you know, this guy is killing it right now. This is, you know, he should be the guy the rest of the year. I would say this, though. I would absolutely ride the hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
Dirk Cutter has to win this year. And, look, he's charged with developing Jameis Winston, but the best thing he can do for himself is win games. And, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see because they actually need to play Jameis so they can make an evaluation of him, whether or not they want to give him his fifth-year option. So, you know, at some point they do need to play him, and that switch needs to be made. But I think there might be a little battle there if Fitz keeps playing really well. And business typically wins over, you know, meritocracy in football. So that's going to be really fascinating to watch.
He's been unbelievable, at least at the start of the season, back-to-back 400-plus, four touchdown games. But we'll see how long it ends up lasting because, you know, just like Mahomes and just like a lot of other players in this league, you're going to get some film, you're going to figure out the system, and you'll see ultimately how it goes down. Therese, before I let you go, I want to get your perspective on Cleveland after six-plus seasons, finally moving on from Josh Gordon, trading him to the Patriots for a conditional fifth-round pick. From all perspectives, it felt like Cleveland tried, and they tried some more, and they tried again, and finally John Dorsey, Hugh Jackson just said, we can't keep trying anymore.
Not just for 4 years without really playing. Like, it just gets old. Like, you know, you just at some point you just want guys that you know are going to be out there for you. I get it. I totally get it. What I don't get is why New England made the trade for a guy that hasn't really proven to be reliable. Maybe they have some information we don't know, right? What we know is that whatever they're doing because they think they can find an advantage in it. And that much you know, and that's why you don't just rip it outright because Belichick's a smart guy. But I can't wait to see what it is because, you know, just on the surface, it certainly seems like, you know, a move where they're just giving up something and I don't seem all that great of that paying off.
I'm with you there, but I was basically, as far as fantasy goes, and again, it's a totally different reality there, but people are still looking at Josh Gordon like it's 2013 Josh Gordon, and the reality is that if you're drafting him in a fantasy league, you have to know that you're going to get reliability on the field, especially going in the third or the fourth or the fifth round, and you know, that just wasn't going to be the case. And so I wonder how long it's going to take him to get up to speed in New England, but as you said, man, that's what Bill Belichick does, and he's willing to take chances on those guys, and if it works out for the Patriots, man, the rich keep getting richer, and so be it for them.
Yeah, they must have some sort of plan for him as some sort of deep threat. Like, the Patriots don't have a scheme that's known to be plug-and-play for receivers. You know? So they must be thinking that he can help in some pretty specific packages that won't be all that taxing as far as terminology goes.
Right, go
I don't know,
Gordon.
But it's New England. It's New England, so let's see.
Therese, I appreciate your time, man. It's always good to catch up with you. Before I let you go, what's coming up on this week's podcast, the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast? You and Charles Robinson bring it each week. What do you guys have coming up this week?
Oh, we're going to do more talk about the NFL. You know, looking up the best matchups of the week in week three. We always got some funny things to say about some things that just happened in the games, too. So that's going to drop on Wednesday. It's a mix of good interviews, you know, funny banter, smart analysis, and we also share kind of what we hear from around the league, and people seem to really enjoy that. So, yeah, give us a try. Give us a listen. You know, we try to entertain you. We try to inform you, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So we appreciate it. People give us a listen, rate and review the NFL, Yahoo NFL podcast. You can find us on Apple. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Google Podcasts, too.
Make sure you download the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast with my guy, Therese Paylor, the corporate champ, and Charles Robinson. Also, check out his awesome work over at Yahoo Sports. He's the senior NFL writer there. And Make sure you're following him on Twitter as well, at Therese Paylor on the tweet machine. Man, keep doing your thing. You do great work, and I love following your work each and every day and hearing you both on local radio and on the podcast as well. So thank you for the time, brother. It's good to catch up.
Yeah, man, anytime. Thanks for having me on.